Turn ye even to me, saith the Lord, with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We begin our season of Lent this Ash Wednesday with ashes prepared by burning the palms of Palm Sunday just prior. And they are placed on our heads with the words, "Remember, O man, that dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return," of course, from Genesis chapter 3. But it also recalls our burial liturgy, where at the interment we say, "Ashes to ashes, earth to earth, and dust to dust," the beginning and the end. We also recall, as one of our collects mentions today, that when the prophet Jonah came to Nineveh to preach the gospel of repentance to them, they took that news and repented in sackcloth and ashes. Today we begin our Lenten season recalling the book of Genesis, recalling that the time in our life is short, and recalling that to repent is to repent indeed, as the city of Nineveh. We hear from the prophet Joel today, and we hear a passage that has always bothered me, and it bothered me until today when I did a little research finally. There are a few phrases that are a little strange in this passage of Joel. First of all, the notion of God repenting. Of course, we always think of repent as turning from sin. How could God turn from sin? Of course, it's repent. Especially the Old Testament Hebrew word that is translated as repent is to turn. And so if his wrath upon the people of God was coming, but he relented, that would be a repenting. The people that the prophet Joel was prophesying to were in a double bind. Number one, there had been something like a plague of locusts that had attacked all of their crops, and their livestock, etc., were essentially decimated. Secondarily, they were under attack from an invading army. They were in trouble on two fronts. And this passage seems always so strange to me. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Why would he leave a meat offering or a drink offering for himself? I had not understood that until I realized this situation. The people of God had nothing. They could not offer anything to the Lord. They could not follow the law of the book of Leviticus. They could not go to the temple and make an offering because they had nothing. He would leave behind something for them so they would have something to offer. If you've been a parent or if you've ever been a kid, I know that you all fall into at least the second category. Perhaps you remember when Christmas was coming and your parents thought it would be cute to receive a gift from you, though you had no money. So they gave you some money so that you could buy a present for them, even though the gift was truly for them. Now that seems cute, or I don't know what that seems like to you, but that is what's going on here in the book of Joel. And if that's a gasping realization to you as it was to me, it should go farther to help us recognize whatever it is that we offer to God is actually what he gave us first to return to him. We're the little kids. He's the father. He's given us so much, and he's asking us to give something back in return. And what does every parent want of their child? They don't want the thing that they bought. They want the love of their child and the thing as a commemoration. But we come during this season of Lent truly with nothing to offer. That is a nothing of our own to offer. We have plenty that the Lord has given to us. What we offer to him is not truly ours, but it is a gift. If you come to the early service, we do not sing the doxology before the offering, but we say, "All things are thine, O Lord, and of thine own
is his own gifts that we are laying at his feet. The people that the prophet Joel was communicating the word of God to had nothing to give. Perhaps the Lord will relent and leave something behind for you to offer him. What a fascinating scene. But there is a connection between what we see in the book of Joel and what we hear from our Lord in the Gospel according to St. Matthew today. Because he says, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. The hypocrites. This is a word, essentially a technical word, for actor. It was the word in the ancient Greek that they used for actor. And so today we have all kinds of negative connotations with hypocrite. But if you were an actor in the first century, it wouldn't have been any big deal to be called a hypocrite. That's how you make your living, as a hypocrite. So when Jesus says, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, what he means is be not as the pretenders, the actors who are pretending to repent, who make a sad countenance, disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. The prophet Joel says, rend your heart, not your garments. We can see the garments. We can't see the heart. Leave the garments in place and rend your heart. It's an ironic thing that on Ash Wednesday we cover ourselves with ashes. In a sense, disfigure our faces so that it appears unto men that we fast. I always give people the option. If you want to wipe it off as soon as you depart, that's fine. But it can also be, rather than a sign of your great piety, more like a sign of the Ninevites. You know that when the Ninevites repented in sackcloth and ashes, it wasn't so that each other would be impressed with their repentance. They were repenting indeed, and you may find others in the community that are repenting indeed as we begin this penitential season, whether you keep the ashes on or not. Be sure to follow our Lord's command here at the beginning of the season of Lent and fast not as the hypocrites, the actors. We turn to our Lord today in true, earnest repentance as we begin this season of Lent. In Ashes, we recall that book, that chapter, third of the book of Genesis, where the Lord reminded the human race, even at the very beginning of the fall, that dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We begin with this sentiment with hope, because the hope of the resurrection and the breath of God and the Holy Spirit will enliven again these ashes and bring us to resurrection in Him. But we traverse this path again, recognizing the situation that we're in as children, offering back to God that which He's given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.